Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad, your host and founder of Product Innovation Educators, where I help product managers become product masters. Get your roadmap to product mastery at theeverydayinnovator.com. If you want your own BB-8 droid, you can buy one from Sphero, a company in Boulder, Colorado. BB-8 is that adorable droid in Star Wars. I'm sure we all know it now, right? The movie The Force Awakens. It's that round ball that rolls across the ground with a head that always manages to stay on top of the ball. The company Sphero, well, they fuse robotic and digital technology into immersive entertainment experience. They make other droids besides BB-8. The original product is named after the company, Sphero. It's basically a white sphere, a little larger than a pool cue ball, and that you can control it with your smartphone and make it roll around the room and play games with. I bought one after seeing it at a Discovery store. In 2014, the company did something really smart. They started creating educational curriculum that teaches kids how to code using a Sphero device. What started as a meetup for kids to learn about robotics and coding is now an expanding library of free lessons for teachers and students. And in the process of learning how to code, the lessons also teach about music, engineering, math, science, art, writing, and more. They have found a way of bringing learning and playing together. This educational program is called Spark. It's spelled S-P-R-K. In the interview, you'll learn what it stands for. Product manager for Spark is Bill Cullen, and I had the pleasure of talking with him about the Spark program. Now, you will hear the audio drop out a few times in the interview, but it's nothing too distracting. It really is a valuable interview. To get the notes of the discussion, the summary, the valuable links, as well as the transcript, go to theeverydayinnovator.com/069. Now, enjoy the interview. Hi, Bill. Thanks for being part of the Everyday Innovator community.
Hi, Chad. I'm excited to be here.
So you are at this company called Sphero, and we'll talk a little bit about what this company is like. It sounds like such a fun and challenging company to work for that makes these little round robots and other robotic devices. What's it really like to be there, and how did you join them?
Yeah, it is definitely fun and challenging. On the fun side, we get to build stuff that's never been built before. And on the challenging side, we get to figure out how to build that stuff. And we're also a very fast-growing company. The company has about doubled since I started almost a year ago. So that is certainly a challenge, too. I found Sphero because I'm friends with one of the co-founders, Ian, and kind of followed his progress over the last 4.5 years or so. And last year, he encouraged me to come over and interview for the Spark product manager role. So here I am.
Very good. That worked out well. I know when I first discovered the company through your product Sphero a few years ago, I thought, wow, this is the dream environment. You know, as a electrical engineer and once upon a time software product manager and developer. So it just looks like too much fun. And I know it is challenging too. There's problems to be solved. And sounds not now like there's also some scale issues to work through, because anytime a company grows that fast, it's always creates a bit more burden for everyone. And those are good problems to have, though. So you're specifically with the Spark program. Tell us about what Spark is and how that got started.
Yes. Yeah, so Spark stands for Schools, Parents, Robots, Kids. And Spark actually started as a meetup called Sphero Rangers. And the company really has a deep-rooted culture, you know, starting with the co-founders, Ian and Adam, and kind of hacking and making and learning. And we noticed that as we brought more kids into playtesting, one of the things they always wanted to do, one of the early play patterns, was they wanted to program the robot beyond just drive and play with it. So over time, as the product came to market, everyone spent a lot of their extra time, nights and weekends and kind of after school hours, having meetups with interested kids or educators to program the robots. And it was kind of just this fun club. And it kind of developed over time to more people being interested. And so we put out some really rudimentary mobile apps to program the robots. And that's kind of how the Spark program began. And people started finding out about, oh, there's these apps that you can program this for beyond just playing with it. And I think the interest comes from, you know, it's certainly, computer programming is very empowering, right? You can automate, you can use incredible logic, you can do things that one human alone can't do. But in order to learn programming, there's a lot of challenges. Hmm. And seeing a program alive in a robot brings it to life, and it's exciting and fun. And so I think that's where the magic is.
I agree. There's a big difference between when you're programming, and especially as a kid. I have two kids, and they're involved in programming also. And when you get to see the effects of your program take shape in the physical world, like change the direction of the ball's moving, it's pretty powerful. So for listeners that probably don't have a context here, that haven't gone to the Sphero website yet and looked at it, just describe for us what a Sphero is and what kinds of things one can do through the Spark program for programming it.
Absolutely. So Sphero is a round robotic ball you can connect to your smartphone over Bluetooth. And imagine kind of a Segway inside of a ball. So a Segway keeps upright with a self-leveling gyroscope, and so does Sphero. And so there's two little motors that drive the drive wheels and allow it to move. And so some of the things you can do with it, kind of think about what you can do with a ball. It's kind of the world's most simplest toy. So when that ball can animate and that ball can roll, you can do things like drive it around and play games. There's LEDs on it that you can control and program. Uh-huh. There are sensors on the robot, like an accelerometer and gyroscope and temperature sensor. And you can use all of those things to control as well. So we've seen really, really kind of wide variety of applications, particularly in education. It's kind of seen as a platform. And so what I mean by that is, you know, platforms are used in all kinds of ways people don't imagine. And that's kind of what happened with Sphero. We thought that the early interactions on programming was kind of the main core of the educational application, but that really is actually just a sliver of it. So we've done painting with Sphero, where you put blobs of acrylic paint in a bin and roll the robot through it and you create Jackson Pollock style paintings. you can create light art in the same vein. So you can use Sphero's lights in a dark room and create a program or drive him and do long exposure photography to create, we call it light tube art with Sphero. There's also a huge amount of constructionism type projects. We just took a device called a Strong Beast to CES and Toy Fair to kind of show off something really cool. That's basically a walking machine powered by Sphero. Hmm. And Strong Beasts were originally developed by Theo Johnson in the Netherlands. That they're kind of these huge machines that walk on the beach. They're kite and wind powered. And we had someone in our community make a Sphero powered Strong Beast that's 3D printed.
Wow, so it's a good connection with the 3D design work too.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's this huge amount of things you can do. And one of the big efforts on the product side that I've done is try to build a community and a platform that we're calling Lightning Lab that we launched a couple of months ago that is a place for people to share what they've programmed for the robot, what they've built around the robot, projects that they've done. And then specifically for educators, it's a place to create structured content that you can bring into the classroom.
I think that's a really smart approach. I wasn't familiar with the Lightning Lab and that sharing community aspect. I know when my kids have been involved in 3D design and do some 3D printing, they love the Thingiverse community, right? So they go out to Tinkercad, which is a free online 3D modeling tool, and they can do their own modeling there, or they can bring models already built from this community called Thingiverse into there, or they could share their models on Thingiverse. And that sharing, the aspect of building the community, just opens up so many more possibilities for kids to think about. And it sounds like that's the purpose of Lightning Lab to do with the Sphero program.
That's exactly right. We are definitely providing the tools, the picks and shovels, and we have some pretty good ideas of great applications for the robot, but honestly, the best ones are coming from passionate users out there. One really amazing one is the Sphero Solar System. Hmm. So we had third graders in Wisconsin got 12 pack of Spheros in their classroom. And then a couple weeks later, if they had learned some Sphero programming, they did their space unit and they programmed Spheros to represent the planetary orbits around the sun. So instead of building the old school styrofoam models, now they're obviously learning about the solar system, but programming robots and collaborating, beyond, far beyond what they would normally learn in that class.
Oh, how amazing is that? And I can imagine in this programming, they could model the actual speeds to scale as the planets orbit, and you could see that model in relationship to each other and how things are moving.
You know, the first seven planets work great, but then when you get to Neptune, I think Neptune is about 140 Earth years, and so if you had modeled that exactly, Neptune would barely move, so we speed Neptune up a little bit.
Yeah, that one's out of scale a bit. So we're both in Colorado, and I think on the, I don't know if you've been there, on the BU campus, I believe it's BU, is a walking, you can walk from one planet to the next, and so you start in the middle and you see the big sun, and then everything is to scale, and I think it's about a mile away you finally get out to. I think they did include at the time Pluto. That was pre-Pluto not becoming a planet anymore. I don't know if you've ever been there, and I might have my schools mixed up, but I remember doing this and being very impressed with this scale model.
I'll have to go check it out.
Something to see. Okay, so lots of things going on there with the Spark program. Let's talk about your responsibilities as the product manager for Spark. What are you over, and how are you involved with the robots too?
So I'm involved on both hardware and software. On the hardware side, you know, it's envisioning, so it's managing the current product that we have in market in both the retail channel and educational channel. Mm-hmm. And then also kind of imagining the next version of the robot that we want to put out. And there's obviously, you know, much longer lead time for something like that than software. So we try to get way far ahead of those requirements. And so we have a team of hardware and electrical engineers here that I work with directly to do that prototyping, and kind of polish industrial design to get the product out. On the software side, you know, on the Spark product itself, Spark Edition, there's a huge amount of innovation on the software side in the last year and probably this coming year too with this community that we've built. So on the software side, it's kind of about how can you build the tools to make programming for Sphero, creating and making for Sphero. How can you build that in a way that people are inspired to share what they've done and put it all in the same place so that it's easily accessible for anyone? And so we're on that journey right now with Lightning Lab, and it's getting really close to kind of fulfilling the vision that we set out to do to create that place. And there's a lean back experience, which is great. So if you have a robot and you're just a retail customer and you bought it to go play with, you can have that experience, but you could also download the Lightning Lab app. And even if you don't want to program the robot, you can go through and hit the explore section in the app and run anyone's program that they've made public on your own robot and check it out. And then you can copy that to your own, remix it, repost it. So it really is an easy way to get into it. And then if you're more interested or hardcore, you can create your own programs.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that. Thank you for bringing that up. That I was curious, as a retail customer, since we have one, if anyone as a consumer can still get access to the Spark program and use their retail device to learn about programming.
Absolutely. So all of the content and the app is free, and it's shared with the same services between the website, spark.sphero.com, and the mobile apps, which we support iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle on. And it's totally accessible for anyone. Anyone can publish content, but we do moderate the content to make sure there's no, you know, nothing inappropriate out there.
Sure. Yeah. Very wise when we're working with kids. Good.
And the one surprise that most people don't know that we leave as kind of a fun Easter egg is that, you know, we sort of market the Lightning Lab app for the main core product, Sphero, and the Spark Edition Sphero. Mm-hmm. But it's actually compatible with Olli and BB-8 as well. And so all the same content, all the same programming language, and all the same community is available for all three robot types.
For all the devices. And yes. I will provide links in the show notes for Everyday Innovators listening so you can see what all these are, and they're all really unique. So since you mentioned BB-8, I said this in the introduction, talked about if anyone wants their own BB-8 droid from Star Wars, you guys make that possible. And I was curious then, because I would expect if I was a kid and involved in the Spark program, I would want to be programming BB-8. And that's possible, you just said. It's all the same platform.
That's exactly right. So we have an internal language that's based on the C language. We call it OVAL. It's essentially C with some low-level robot commands for the sensors and motors and things like that. So you can use blocks to drag onto a programming canvas. Each of the blocks represents real computer code. And then you can run that program, and then you can see the code behind the box that you created.
Okay, so it's
it's really easy to get started.
Yeah, it's a visual user interface for programming. You just drag and drop basically command blocks to tell the robot what to do.
That's right.
I like that. That's good for kids' imaginations and to get a quick start on interacting with the device. Let's make this a little more tangible then. Can you walk us through one of the Spark lessons about just what that lesson is, you know, what kids learn as they are interacting with the robot? Because it's not just about learning programming and some robotics. I know the Spark lessons are also dealing with all kinds of other topics.
You know, I'll explain one of our kind of most classic activities that is still really popular today. So it's called the Chariot Challenge.
Okay.
And the Chariot Challenge is kind of a combination of programming and constructionism. So by nature, it's fun. So what you do is you take a Sphero robot, and kids have a challenge of building a kind of claw device that fits over a Sphero, and typically would have 2 to 3 wheels on the backside, kind of like a chariot. And kids have to go through the engineering design process to design that chariot out of whatever materials they have on hand, whether it's Legos or wheels or popsicle sticks or, you know, 3D printed potentially. And then they design these vehicles, and an instructor or like a maker camp facilitator, you give them a standard mass. So something like maybe 50 or 100 grams. And they have to put that mass on the chariot, and then they have to program their robot to carry the chariot around an obstacle course on the floor. And whoever can get through the obstacle course most efficiently between the design of their physical chariot and the accuracy of their program they write in the Lightning Lab app, you have a winner.
I love it. It's a real challenge they have to overcome. And they have the challenge of building the kind of the prototyping work of putting the chariot together, making sure that that works properly and modifying as they need to, and then managing how to program for the obstacle course.
Exactly. And you know, I think the edge that we have is Sphero is instantly fun. And we're really lucky to have that sort of excitement that comes out of kids in terms of, you know, just having the LEDs light up the room is exciting to them, and not having to stare at a book, but to see physics and math and constructionism in real life and not have to read it off a book or a screen is mm-hmm. is really exciting.
Yeah, there was another lesson I was looking at that I was really intrigued by, because the Sphero, and again, this is at least the one we have is white. I think the official Spark edition is clear, which is very cool because then you get to see inside how the robotics work. But it's a little bit larger than a cue ball, right, for playing pool, you know, kind of baseball size. And they're waterproof too. And one of the lessons I saw, and I'll try to put a link in if anyone's interested in the show notes of the video, this is the Sphero going down, going through water, right? And then putting rubber bands on the Sphero and seeing how that changes its progression through the water, and learning about, you know, some coefficients of friction and what's that fluid mechanics like going through the water, and start seeing some real applications of physics and how things change just by changing the what you put on the ball. I thought that was a great lesson.
That's exactly right. We have a couple of different water lessons, but the one you're describing, so I think this one is called the Water Wheeler, which was made by an innovator of ours called Eric Johnson. And he basically designed an activity where you measure out kind of a very specific distance over water, and you use the formula for time, speed, and distance to measure, you know, how fast can Sphero go based on the water displacement that you add to him. So if you just put Sphero in water, he's kind of slick. So mm-hmm. there's not a lot of friction or water displacement happening there. So he goes probably about a quarter mile per hour. Mm-hmm. But if you build a scuba shell, we love to call them, or put some bands on him, and depending on how equally distributed those bands or flares are, you can get the robot to move a lot faster. And then you can actually measure that increase in acceleration and speed with the math and physics formulas.
It's a great application to see physics in action. So it takes me back to some physics labs in my past. None of them were as cool as this. So in thinking about this, and you talked about that chariot challenge, in a previous episode on the show, episode 25, I talked about a class I was involved in that was for 8 to 12-year-old kids. And we took them through a few things. But it was all about how do we go from doing work in the kind of the virtual world of code and seeing that take shape in the physical world. And one thing we used was the Lego Mindstorms, the EV3 robotic system. And that's also a good construction set, right? Because you get to build the physical device, the little robot out of the Legos, and then do programming. They also have a block programming kind of approach where you can link blocks together to change how the motors and the robot work. And I was curious about a couple of things then. If there was any inspiration from what Lego's done with the Mindstorms for how Spark has emerged in the training with kids, you could start putting together a Spark challenge for competitions. Like Lego has, and it's not Lego officially themselves, I don't think, the First League has created robotic competitions, and they use Lego as part of that. I don't know if there's an opportunity for now Sphero robotic challenges for competitions.
Mindstorm has done a great job. They were one of the first entrants kind of into the teaching robotics space, and they've certainly paved the way. And you know, we definitely see it as a sort of competition where kind of the rising tide is good for everyone in terms of getting kids to understand how things work and not just being, you know, consumers of technology, but being creators of it and being creative with it. And so Mindstorm has done a great job of productizing and bringing some of their core tech to market in an educational way, which is some of what we've done as well. And on the competition side, we haven't really ever done anything formally other than really fun internal kind of hack days and Sphero Olympics we've done, of course, in the office. But the community has definitely done some things like that where they've gotten together at camps or schools or before or after clubs, and they've had their own competitions. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like maybe we should create something so we can have broader interest.
It's an opportunity. Yeah, it's something interesting to look at. You know, and part of the story is just how this original product, which does have fun built in, the Sphero, came about and now has this educational element built in. And I think that's a smart strategy for a lot of companies to look at. You did mention Sphero Olympics, and so I don't want to lose that. Tell me what a Sphero Olympic around the office is like.
So Sphero Olympics is a really fun day where everyone at the company here in Boulder doesn't do anything productive other than make cool stuff and then compete with each other. And we've actually got product ideas out of it unintentionally. So maybe it was productive.
Yep.
But we've done things like our own chariot races. We've done our own water races. We've done our own 3D printing design offs where you get a very short amount of time to 3D model a head or a character for Sphero and 3D print it and get it on the robot. And then create an animation or story sequence behind it. And then there are judges for the best story and character. So, you know, things like that, iterating on the existing platform that we have and just being creative and kind of just taking a step back from the desk for a day is really fun. But every now and then it ends up in a new product idea.
Sure.
And it actually did end up in we actually have our own chariot that we sell as a product accessory that's much like one the kid would build, but mm-hmm. it's made out of polycarbonate, so it's super durable and designed with Lego attachments on top, so you can attach Legos to it. And it also actually fits a smartphone pretty well in the carriage area, so that you could live stream or video record robot point of view when you're running a program or driving him.
Now, isn't that fun? And I'm familiar with the Chariot only because a couple of weeks ago, I kept hearing this knock against my door, and it was preceded by the whirling sound of motors. And I couldn't figure out what this thing was. I finally went and looked at it. Sure enough, it was a Chariot with a Sphero in it coming to knock on my door.
There you go. You know, Sphero in the morning.
The kids find creative ways to get my attention. That's, I suppose, is a good thing. On getting ideas, you did mention earlier that you're also responsible for the hardware aspect related to Spark. And so the official Spark program has its own Sphero, which I said was a clear version, so you can see inside. And when my son saw, when I was doing the preparation for this interview, he saw that on my screen and he said, oh, I want one of those, of course, because you get to see the robotics, which is so cool. Are you finding inputs from the educational community helping to drive some of the hardware design decisions?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the things about having a great user base that's passionate about your product and creating new uses for it is they are constantly reaching out with great ideas. And they have definitely influenced the hardware product roadmap. You know, one of the things we created as a product for the Spark program was a 12-pack of Spheros that has done really well in terms of making it a kit that teachers can buy. And it's something we sell into the education channel only. We don't sell it in retail. And it kind of answers a lot of questions for people that want to bring Sphero into the classroom but don't know how.
Right.
And so we give them a kit, and it kind of includes the right amount of Spheros for a classroom based on 20 or 25 kids. And it kind of answers those questions as to, well, I'm interested in robotics and coding, but how do I get started? You know, this is kind of the kit that you buy that can get you there.
Okay. And speaking of robots, I hear one in the background. Someone must be driving one around the office.
If someone's not driving a robot, something's wrong.
Okay, so they're just always going on. Very good. That explains a little noise in the background. And thinking about this extension into the educational market, right? So as product managers, we certainly need to be are business people involved in the business perspective for sure. So one way you're seeing that entering the educational market has impacted the company is by getting new ideas for products. I'm just curious, what else have you seen from that impact in terms of the overall company? Because I don't think this is probably part of the original formulation of the company, but a really smart opportunity to pursue to expand the use of Sphero and do a lot of good in terms of helping kids learn about programming robotics.
Absolutely. I think on the business side, what it's done is allow us to diversify the audience of users. So where the product was originally more of a CE and entertainment product, we now have this really passionate user base that advocates for us, and it's in a totally different niche. So we get a lot of interest from different groups now that we wouldn't normally do if we didn't have this really passionate user base in the education community that really does extend and kind of far beyond schools themselves. We have folks that are at libraries and maker camps and STEM camps and festivals that use Sphero all the time. I was actually in Arlington outside of Washington, D.C. before a visit to the White House, and we were in a tech shop there, which is a maker space. And I said, oh, of course we have Sphero in here. How could we not? So it's getting used in all these really interesting and fun ways. And it's really fun as, you know, as product managers, sometimes we travel a lot to go to trade events or, you know, do PR or for various reasons. And it's amazing to see out there in the market your product. And it's really exciting to, you know, sort of be surprised at how it's being used.
And I would expect that, as you said, you have this new base of advocates for the company, that by creating the Spark program, you've tapped into a different type of consumer base that really is probably much more loyal fans of the company and promoting it and also finding new ways to use this original Sphero device. And as we have talked through this, it's given me ideas that if we do another version of that class that I did, was we called it our Future Innovation Leaders. And we've been thinking about, you know, what would the next generation of that be like? The Sphero is actually a more, frankly, it's an easier approachable device to use than the Mindstorms, just on price, right? Because the Mindstorm EV3 gets to be a bit expensive, and the Sphero is a smaller price point. And we can do so many creative things by, you know, do 3D printing to add on, build our own chariots and add on different things. and use it in a very similar way to create competitions to program robots. And so you're giving me good ideas here.
You're welcome.
So what is it that you most enjoy about being the Spark product manager and being involved on the education side?
The thing I enjoy the most is being able to make things. I think as a product person, you know, the ultimate tragedy is building something and having it not go out into market and go out into users' hands. That's definitely not the case going on here at Sphero in education. We're rapidly building new software, new hardware, new content, new applications of the robot, and there's new stuff almost every single day. Hmm. And so that's really exciting. And on top of that, we have a really passionate user base that I get to talk to almost every day and see in person and really collaborate with. And I've had friends have jobs, and I've had other jobs where I wasn't so in touch with the user base, and that's really difficult because, you know, you don't always know, am I building the right features? Am I prioritizing the roadmap correctly? Am I building what people want?
Right.
And here I'm pretty confident in a lot of those questions because it's we have this organic relationship with the users that's really, really great. And we're kind of humbled to be in that position.
And there seems to be some key benefits of making this extension into the education market. One, there's just the goodwill generated, right, that now we're helping to impact kids' lives, and it's related to STEM education. And there's a lot of goodwill to be had there and be wise to do it just from that perspective. And everyone involved feels good about their time and investment doing that. Another reason is it does expand your market base, right? You're now able to sell more products to more people, which is a good thing. But this third aspect that you talked about, being in touch with the users, I think that's really key, that this has given you specifically, but the company, another way to get very valuable feedback from those people that are probably pushing what one can do with a Sphero more than the normal retail consumer, right? I mean, it's provided that opportunity to kind of have this board of advisors in this other dimension.
That's right. And yeah, I think those are the reasons why being the product manager on Spark are really great. But I think having the same role and not really caring about why the role is good, but caring about what we're doing and market, my answer would be, you know, it's almost every kid's favorite day in school.
Right.
And when you have kids wanting to skip lunch period or come in early and program or build for a robot in ways that, you know, the teacher is kind of blown away by, that's really exciting to be a part of and to see kids really engaged in learning. We get a lot of feedback from educators that, you know, it's really hard to keep kids engaged because there's so much stimulus out there with digital technology. And so, you know, bringing it back to something that can engage them, but also push their imagination so that, you know, beyond Sphero, you know, the kids that are growing up with this technology now, what can they imagine that we'll never be able to imagine? I'll probably be out of job in 10 years because of all the kids that we're teaching to program these robots.
There'll be a whole new generation coming in with new ideas and new capabilities. That would be a good thing if you put yourself out of a job. I do think it is the dream job. And of all the people I've interviewed, you probably have the job I want. It just sounds like so much fun working with robotics and programming and helping to impact kids' education and letting them learn more about math and engineering and these concepts. If you ever get bored with the job, let me know.
We are hiring.
Good to know. So for all the listeners, if this also sounds like fun, go check out the website. It's sphero.com, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. This is good. I also asked you to prepare a innovation quote. Pick one that you liked and share with us why you did so. What did you bring?
I worked with an engineer once who told me to always get to the end before you finish. And that may not mean a lot to you, but to me, it means you need to prove out a concept. You need to prove out a prototype. You need to prove out an experience before you wait till the end of the product cycle. And that I have used that almost every day in my role at Sphero because we're moving so fast. There's no time to waste on ideas that aren't fun ideas that don't push the needle. And so, you know, if you look at technology, you know, a good example where this advice was not followed would be, you know, what the Obama administration did with healthcare.gov.
Right.
They used a really old school practice called waterfall development and had really not honed in on agile and prototyping and this idea of getting to the end before you finish. And then you end up with, you know, miles and miles of wasted money. So, you know, another big idea is if you can get to the end before you finish, you should probably be really embarrassed by your first version of the software that you build.
Right. Yep.
Because you should always have this philosophy of iterating, and you get to a great product by iterating. You're not going to get to a great product by one big release. It's going to be using that product, sitting with users and taking their feedback on that product to improve it over time. I definitely look at the first release of the software that we put out for Spark, and somehow it looks 10 years old compared to the app now.
And that actually should be a good thing you're proud of. And Bill, I appreciate you making the point and love the quote. And you also made reference there to one of my favorite quotes, which is from the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman. And he said, if you're not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you've launched too late. Right. And it's that idea that we need to get it out into the marketplace so we can get feedback and then we can iterate and make it better.
That's exactly right.
Well,
thanks, Reid.
And thanks for sharing the quote from your engineering friend, too. It's very good. And Bill, I want to make sure that listeners know how to find out more about Sphero and the Spark program itself and whatever you want to leave us with in terms of what Spark is doing to help kids. Where do we find that information?
So you can go to Sphero.com and check out all the jobs that we're hiring for across all the disciplines of the company as we grow, which is very exciting. The Spark program is a link on the top of the site. It's Sphero.com/education. And from there, you can find the Lightning Lab community that I mentioned, both on the web. And you could also download the iOS and Android and Kindle apps just typing in Spark Lightning Lab in the app stores. And so that will allow you to really check out the meat of some of the activities we talked about, like the chariot challenge and the water exercises and how to learn programming with Sphero. And also, if you have a robot, you can run programs that others have written and shared with the community. And I think the thing I'd like to leave folks with about the company is that, you know, if you're a product manager out there and you're planning software or hardware, really try to find those users out there that are really passionate about your product. Because if people are willing to invest their own time into your product, you've got something special. And really make them feel special for helping you. And so that's certainly one of the key tenets we've used here. And it's been very, very successful and led to amazing, passionate users that you know, we really enjoy and are humbled to get to work with.
It's great advice. You certainly have developed a very loving base of community, right? You have a great fan base that is enjoying what has been done with Sphero and the Spark program. Thank you for sharing your experience with that, Bill, and thanks for talking to the Everyday Innovators.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you for listening and for sharing this podcast with other product managers and innovators. If you haven't told someone involved in product work yet about this podcast, please do so. It just means the world to me when I hear people listen to the podcast because a friend told them about it. And you'll find all of the notes from this discussion with Bill at theeverydayinnovator.com/069. Please check it out. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training your customers will love you for. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.